Orin James Romaine, if I had to give you one guess as to which 92.9 The Game personality responded to, because somebody asked me on Twitter if I had seen Happy Gilmore 2, and then I gave my response. If you had to guess if there was one 92.9 The Game personality that had to jump in on that and share his opinion on me not liking Adam Sandler movies, if I gave you one guess.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
No, but good guess.
Oh, I just put him on blast accidentally. I'm so sorry.
No, but that makes sense because Abe is our movie guy here. I wonder what Abe said. Abe, if you're listening.
Abe's seen it. I think Abe, well, I don't know what he thought about it, but.
I want to know what he thinks about Adam Sandler movies in general. Because, oh, what do you think about Adam Sandler? It was Squidbilly, by the way. Because of course it was.
Oh.
Of course it was.
Always and he's watching, he's listening, judging.
He was like, you know what, Turtle? I feel bad for you. You just don't understand what a good film is. You're highbrow, belly-licking, laugh-wanting over here. You just, Adam Sandler.
Referred you as highbrow because you don't like Happy Gilmore 2.
Adam Sandler is a comedic genius, okay? He's produced such films as The Waterboy, Happy Gilmore 1 and 2. Grown Ups 1,
3,
2, 3, 4, and Little Nicky to boot, the all-time classic.
I will say this about, there are moments of Little Nicky when I laughed a whole lot. And that movie is so, it's so awful. When he covered Henry Winkler in bees, that amused me to no end.
Now, I need you to understand something. When I sit down for 2 hours to watch a film, I want to see Travis Kelce, Scottie Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, and a whole bunch of other people, Julie Bowen. I want to see a whole bunch of other people that don't need to be in the movie being the movie. You know, and I want to take the best part of the first movie, which was obviously the rivalry, and make that about a 10-minute subplot point of the movie, because I'm Adam Sandler, and I'm a comedic genius. And that's clearly Squidbilly feels that way, and that's okay.
He enjoys.
I'm not here to yuck yums, man. I don't do it. I don't care what you like, but I'm just saying, if the shoe fits. If the boot fits, I'm going to wear it now.
I'm hit or miss with Adam Sandler. Like, there's some movies I enjoy of his, but I think it's mostly because of who's in the movie with Adam Sandler.
Like, just most of the movies.
Not so much Adam Sandler by himself.
Orin, they're just so dumb.
Like, I enjoyed, Billy Madison was funny, but because Norm was funny and Chris Farley were funny, like, there were funny other funny people around him in that movie. I enjoyed the first Happy Gilmore because, again, there were a lot of funny people around him.
I think sometimes he's
not great by himself.
I know I'm in the minority on this. I know most people listening probably like Adam Sandler movies.
Uncut Gems was great.
But that doesn't count. Because
it's different.
Hustle was pretty good. The basketball movie that had
Hernan Gomez.
Willie Hernan Gomez.
And Anthony Edwards.
Juancho Hernan Gomez. But those aren't not to me Adam Sandler movies. Those are one-off shoots that he did because he loves sports. That's not in the same category. Hustle and Uncut Gems are not in the same category as Grown Ups, if you catch my drift. As what was the one where he and Drew Barrymore went to the zoo, or they went to animals or something? It was like an exotic animal trip. He had one with Jennifer Aniston, too.
I do remember that. That wasn't Click with Jennifer Aniston, no. The Jennifer Aniston one was on.
Click was with, I think, Kate Beckinsale, if I'm not mistaken.
Just go with it with Jennifer Aniston.
Just go with it. Okay, they're all this. Ugh. Again, I'm not here to yuck yums. I don't particularly find his brand to be that funny. I need a little more nuance. I wouldn't have been a Three Stooges fan back in the day, I don't think. Yeah, it was just too upfront, too slapsticky, too in your face. But that's okay. You live your best life, Squid, and everybody else out there. I'll like what I like, and you guys can like what you like. That's fine. how do I transition from this into Chris Lindstrom? I guess you just don't, right? You just I just say that now we're going to hear from Chris Lindstrom on Chris Thomas Tonight.
Who may or may not be a fan of Adam Sandler.
I bet you Chris Lindstrom likes Adam Sandler movies just fine. Again, I'm acknowledging I'm in the minority here. I get it. But to me, it just I'd rather watch anything else. Like, really, honestly, I do not find him funny at all. Which is weird, Oren, because this is a final thing I'll say about this. I thought on SNL back in the day, he was great.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was great.
Opera man.
Yeah, he was great. And then as soon
Let me walk your dog.
And then as soon as he started making his own stuff. All right, Chris Lindstrom did.
Crushy pepper.
Yeah, de pepper. Chris Lindstrom did join our 92.9 The Game this weekend with Dylan and Mike Johnson. The boys were talking to him, and the first thing they talked about was, how good does it feel to be back?
It's awesome, and I think now my seventh camp here, I think this might have been the most fans I've ever seen here, and so there's an energy and a buzz.
Boom.
And that helps. I mean, these days are so hard. You know, it's hot, and I know it's evolved over the years, but camp is still camp. And so when you have the energy of 5,000 people here, it gets you through, especially when you do those red zone periods.
I'm curious, and look, I don't want to point out anything for the obvious, but you're sweating right now. You just got off the field. I was telling Dylan earlier, for me, I was always like 11 and a half or 12 pounds after a training camp practice. And you get the double IVs, and you go in there with Denny Long, and you get hooked up, and the EMTs in there. What is it for you on a daily basis? Like, how much are you losing, gaining? How hard do you have to fight to get it back on every day?
Man, it's the same exact thing. Nothing's changed. I'm usually at the minimum 7 upwards. I think the most I've ever lost is 11 pounds. But it's 7 to 11 pounds just about every practice. And like you said, Danny Long and the staff that we got here in the training room and nutritionist Steve Benjamin, they give us every tool in the book. But that's the expectation, you know, of, you know, you're a rookie, you're a younger guy, you come in. And, you know, myself being from the Northeast, this is an adjustment. Like, you got to be at your best every day, and you lose 10, 11 pounds. All of a sudden, you're not on top of your hydration, and, you know, you're dragging out there. So, same thing. I'm 2 IVs, you know. A Pedialyte and staying on top of it.
Love it, man.
It is Falcons All Pro and Pro Bowl right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game. Dylan Matthews and Mike P, former Atlanta Falcon and former Atlanta Falcon offensive lineman Mike Johnson with us here. Chris, I do want to ask you this. Obviously, you got to get some great time in games with Ryan Neuzel, who's obviously taking over at that starting center job. How big was it? And how big is it going to be moving forward, getting those snaps and getting those games with him? Obviously, you're going to be next to him throughout the year this year. How big is it going to be going into this year, being able to hit the ground running with him?
I think right now it's the huge emphasis. The whole point of training camp is to work out the kinks in those combinations. And so Ryan and I, just about every single combination, we're talking it through, saying, hey, did you like my spacing here? Do you need a little bit more? You need a little bit less? And if our timing's off, you know, we kind of work through it. And Ryan's great. I mean, he's as sharp as anybody mentally. And he's doing a great job communicating up there and doing a great job leading us. I think right now it's just kind of working those combinations. And we have so many reps in the bank, but even my stuff with Kayla, we're talking it through right now because we want to be perfect heading into week one.
I love it, man. And I want to hit on that just a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds for the listeners out there, but I talk all the time about you guys wide zone. I talked to Jake about this last year. Jake's actually the only guy left on the team that I played with. He's been around that freaking long. But I talked about how friendly this offense can be under Dwayne Ledford in the wide zone, and you fit it like a puzzle piece. I mean, you fit it absolutely perfectly to what they're looking for. And obviously when Zach Robinson got here last year, it was very apparent to me. It was like, hey, D-Led, you deal with the run game. I'll deal with the passing game. We'll kind of move from there. But is that evolving at all? I mean, I talk about it all the time on the show. You guys pull less as a pair of guards than any offense in the NFL. I mean, is that something that you think we can expect to continue to see, or do you see any wrinkles coming down the pipe this year in terms of the run game?
I think we're always constantly looking to evolve, and I think you do a lot of self-scouting. And so Zach's doing a great job right now, and like you said, Led does such a great job with us in the wide zone. And I think what makes the wide zone so great is they talk about all the time in the NFL playing fast. But how do you play fast? You know this, like when you're protected in a combination, you got somebody coming with you, and you're not afraid of failure. You're not afraid of a guy beating you inside because you know you got your teammate there. Then you can play even faster. And so when you get on that, and then you just start chasing that speed and that confidence in one another, and I think that's what makes us so great.
Yeah.
How's it been as far as the adjustment? Obviously, every quarterback has a different cadence and the way they just call out the plays and things like that. How's it been adjustment to the cadence of Michael Penix Jr.?
Mike's done a great job. I think we got to work the reps at the end of last season, and then he did a great job this spring. And hopefully by the time we get to the first game of the season, you know, I can hear Mike's voice in my sleep, you know. And that's the biggest thing. And timing it up, like, you know, how he rolls his huts, like how that difference. And honestly, it gets to a point now at some point mid-season where he says hut, and it's supposed to be, you know, on one, but it's really, you can tell by his voice that he thinks it's on two or something like that. Like, you get to that point where you can even tell the inflections in his voice. Not there yet, but we're definitely getting there.
I love to hear that, man. I was explaining to these guys in the build-up of training camp the anxiety that can kind of go through you as a player. I used to lay down in bed, and I'd wake up, and I would be in a one-on-one pass pro in my brain. You know what I mean? I'd be stressing my chest muscles, and I'd be like, and it's just some people don't understand because, it's always constantly kind of evolving in your mind. You always think about it, obviously always being here and you know, being a part of that. So I love to hear that about Penix's cadence. And I had the same questions. Look, we all watched the Kirk Cousins Netflix documentary. It's week one. T.J. Watt's kind of getting off on the snap count, and Kirk Cousins is going, yeah, it's just a lot going on, man. You know, a lot of motions, trying to give a hard count with the motions and timing up Charlie Warner and things like that. What are the differences that you see throw? I mean, I realize you guys haven't even strapped the pads on, but the battery of Neuzel to Penix, obviously different than the battery you dealt with last year. Is there anything – have you guys had any hiccups from that aspect?
Not so far, and I think I observed this too, like this past week. I don't think we've had any, you know, standard week one of camp things, you know, fumbles or snaps, you know, balls hitting off guys, and I think we've been pretty clean operationally, and I think, you know, you continue to evolve that, start working in silent cadence, so by the time you play on the road, it's not the first time you've ever done it.
Yep.
And Mike, too, for being a young player, is changing up his snap counts and working it now, and it's challenging us as O-linemen. Because, you know, I think this is probably the worst shape we're going to be in, you know, all season.
Yep.
And so if we're straining mentally to think about the cadence now, by the time we get in season, we're going to be rolling.
It is Falcons All-Pro and Pro Bowl right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson hanging out here with you. I want to talk about what you've been seeing from a couple of these interior guys that we know and we saw flashes from last year. When you talk about Ruka Rororo, when you talk about Brandon Dorlus, those are guys that, again, we saw flashes of last year, but didn't get to see too much, unfortunately, because of injuries and things of that nature. And we've been hearing that, obviously, new defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich has been sending a lot of blitz has been pretty blitz-heavy so far here. So what have you noticed from the guys on the interior, the Ruka Roros, the Brandon Dorluses of the world so far?
Yeah, I think from what Mike said about what Coach Ledford did for my career, I think Brick has got it for these guys, and these guys are fitting into it. They're feeling confident. They're having fun. And you can see a big growth in them, and then, you know, I think year two in the NFL is the biggest jump for guys, and it's really cool to see them out here, how much better they've gotten, how much stronger they are, and how much more comfortable they are playing every single day.
I'd love to hear it, man. And we got a few minutes left here with Chris Lindstrom, Pro Bowl right guard, all pro right guard for the Atlanta Falcons. What about you? What have you focused on throughout the offseason? And obviously, I think did we start with the Panthers last year? It was an early season game against the Panthers, and always that matchup with their interior defensive linemen is always a tough thing. But look, you've been all pro, you've been Pro Bowl, you've reached the highest of the highs in terms of grades with PFF and everything else like that. What is Chris Lindstrom focused on going into 2025?
For myself personally, it's, you know, continuing to what I do best, and, you know, that's the wide zone, and so I still want to be, you know, the best in the world at that, and working the fundamentals that it takes for that. And then in the pass pro, you're always seeking perfection. You're never going to get it, and no matter what, you know, there's Jake Matthews and Zach Martin are probably the two guys where I've seen where it's like every single pass that they set, it's perfection. You know, I'm constantly chasing that, and I think knowing your own skill set, knowing your strengths and weaknesses. And so for myself, it's just constantly working the past stuff, constantly working, you know, schematically and everything. So
I'm curious to hear too, and we got into this a little bit last year, the screen game. And I had a feeling like going into this there would be some more emphasis from Zach Robinson on the screen game. What can we expect out of that? I mean, do you like running screens? Do you like getting out in space, or is it like, dude, I don't need to be out there in the wide open field trying to block a DB?
Man, I love it. I mean, anything to slow those guys down, and honestly, one less drop back pass rep I'm good with. So But the spacing aspect of it too, right? It's spacing and timing, and
yep.
Each screen has a different spacing and different timing, and, you know, It looks like you just throw it out there, and you know he hasn't run in their space, but there's a lot of details that go into it, and it's something that you can't take for granted. It needs a lot of work, so I'm glad we're doing it.
And we actually talked a little bit earlier, and you mentioned Michael Penix a couple of different times. I thought in his three starts we would probably see him take off and run a couple of more times than he did. Only like once, maybe twice, did he take off and actually scramble. Talk to us a little bit about how that changes things in terms of how you are rushed as an offensive lineman. If he takes off and runs one time over in the game, all of a sudden the defense tackle's eyes are in the backfield a little bit more. He's having to kind of two-gap and make sure he can shed. It can really change the name of the game in terms of y'all's job.
Yeah, for sure. I think you described it great. And, you know, when you had Kirk and then Matt Ryan was here today, those guys were more traditional pocket passers. And so you know you're going to get push up the middle, right? Because those guys are as quick in their progression. So you know you're going to get a lot of power rushes. And they're going to try and penetrate up the middle because they're not so worried about getting flushed out to the outside. And those guys have, you know, their superpowers that they can process everything so quickly and get the ball out. And then, you know, a little bit different when, you know, Marcus and Desmond, it was a little bit softer on the inside, a little bit deeper in the pass rush to keep those guys kind of in the pocket. And Mike, you know, we're constantly figuring out is just where his depth of his drop's going to be. And I think when we're out there playing, you're not thinking about where Mike is. You just have this sixth sense that, you know, all right, I'm getting knocked back. How much space do I have to Mike? All right, I really got to dig in right here because I know Mike's probably a foot behind me. And kind of knowing, hey, I can run the guy up the field a little bit, or, you know, I got to set a little bit deeper because Mike's going to be deeper. And so just kind of right now working that where he is in the pocket.
All-Pro and Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons. Right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just want to know real quick before we get you out of here, what are the training camp essentials, man? I know some guys, they got to have the gaming system.
The
some
box
guys,
fan. He was talking about the box fan.
He was a box fan guy. What's the training camp essential list for Chris Lindstrom?
Well, I got to thank Mr. Blank. He's got the AC cranking back.
Yes,
he does. So thank you, Mr. Blank.
Smooth 65, 68.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So thank you, Mr. Blank, for that. And then my own pillow. I think that's a huge necessity. I bring an Xbox, not a ton. I'm going to bed at 8:30 most nights anyways, but have it there just in case. And then the biggest, you know, in-season thing is dude wipes. And, like, those, like, it's the smallest thing, man, but it's
moisture
the biggest.
Moisture is the enemy, my friend. Moisture is the enemy.
It's the small necessities in camp.
You're not one of those guys that hauls in a Serta mattress on day one of training camp and has to take it back out 3 weeks later?
Nope.
Had a few of those. Tony Gonzalez was that guy, man. He had a Serta sleeper. I'm like, dude, go do a commercial somewhere. Look, before we let you out, what was the offseason like? Any fun thing? Did you go to any concerts, any trips, anything like that were a lot of fun? Tell us about what the offseason was like.
Yeah, I got to go out to Joshua Tree National Park. Right. Got to see two of my friends, Matt Hennessy and Drew Dahlman, who are both here. You know, they were spending the offseason out in California, so got to see them. Had a great time at the national park, went on a bunch of those hikes. My wife and I, we love doing that. So did that, and then a big Formula One fan, so we went up to Montreal and got there to see the race up there. So yeah, that's pretty fun.
I do.
I stream Mario Kart every now and again on Twitch. Okay. I gotta put that out there. So
same.
What?
He's like samesies.
Xbox. What are you playing? What's your go-to?
I can't play competitive video games in season because it defeats the purpose of checking out and kind of relaxing.
Very true.
I did get the new Mario Kart with my wife though, and we've been playing. Have you been going ahead?
I haven't got it yet, but we're working on it. So okay. I haven't been able to play Mario Kart World yet, but I've seen it. It looks good.
Man, it is so much fun, and it's a blast. The new things, I got the Knockout Tour, stuff like that. It's a really good game.
Absolutely.
All right, that is our All-Pro Chris Lindstrom there over the weekend at camp, exclusively on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back, both Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank spoke over the weekend. We'll let you hear what the head honchos of the Atlanta Falcons had to say. Don't go anywhere. Halfway home on a busy, busy Monday. It's Chris Thomas tonight.